one soul, or two.
And hello and welcome, everyone. We are on episode 5. Wow, it's hard to believe we're already there. Again, yeah, we're on episode 5, and today is the week of paranormal. Paranormal.
It's paranormal week today, people.
Paranormal.
Right? Episode really 5. So today, actually, you know, since it is week of the paranormal, it's Joe's week. Yeah. The weather has really matched it. It's adding to everything right now. If only the rain, it was like raining really, really hard right now with the wind. Or even we had like thunder in the background.
You saw thunder once today.
I did.
And she scared the shit out of me.
Lightning and the thunder?
She was like, oh my god, wait, what did you do again?
Oh my god.
Yeah. And I was just like, what happened?
Yep. All right, again, it's Paranormal Week, so we have two things that we will be covering. I will be covering a story, and Joe will be covering a story, but before we get started, we have some things we'd like to announce. First off, I want to say happy birthday to our February babies, starting with Joe's actually younger brother, Mark Anthony. He listens to our pod. Shout out to you, bro.
Yeah, shout out. Happy birthday. Happy late birthday, sorry.
Right? By the time he listens to this.
He would have never known if it was late or not, because we could have been like, yeah, we recorded on that day, but Joe just threw himself under the bus.
This is the day before Valentine's Day.
His birthday was last week.
Now everybody knows his birthday.
Right? No.
So happy birthday to all you fellow Aquarians out there.
Right. And then we also want to do another birth out to Hoochie Mama. Hoochie Mama Jerome. Who I don't even know listens to this, but...
When you do. We sit in a shout him out.
Right? We're still going to do a shout out to you because it's your birthday.
We're gonna sit.
Also, I'm going to do another shout out. I'm going to say happy anniversary to my mom and my dad. Woo. They're going on, I don't know how many fucking years of being together. They got married on Valentine's Day, so they're celebrating that. And I'm also going to say happy anniversary to our number one fan. I do believe she said she's celebrating her anniversary this month also. So we have those, and then I have some shout outs that we wanted to do. We wanted to do our shout out to Foxy
helping us out a lot.
We gotta get like one little like
things. Yeah. We have a shout out goes to you, Foxy. You know who you are. Thank you for everything.
You know there's an app for that horn, right?
Yes, there's an app for it.
You should have told us before we started recording all this. Then maybe we would have had the app to actually do it and record it.
It's good comedy to wait until.
Maybe I'll just... Now we got the free trial of the Sam and Yelly.
I know, right? And then I also wanted to do a shout out to Teresa again because she's been helping us out a lot. She, you know, you're just super, super helpful. And thank you so much, Teresa,
yay,
for
Teresa.
All your work.
All the point countings. Right. I'm in the lead, right?
Oh,
right?
My God.
Right? Team Miss in the lead.
No,
right?
Don't play
right?
Favorites. Don't play favorites.
In the lead for losing.
That's you, Joe.
Probably, but still.
No. Anyways, and last but definitely not least, Mr. Black.
Mr. Black.
You know who you are. We have a shout out especially to you.
I like how Sam's like semi-smiling about it to you because she's like...
I'm so excited. He was like, he comes up to me every day and he's just like, oh my God, I'm so excited and so happy. I just want to like acknowledge him and be like, bro, we're listening to you. We love you. Mr. Black.
We'll remember you when we're at the top. Don't
right.
We?
We'll give you that autograph you're asking for. Love you. All right. So yeah, that's our shout outs for this week. Might make it a thing, may not, we don't know. We've just been doing shout outs because we're at the startup and it's a lot of these people really showing their support and help
all the
for
support
us.
And love. Yeah, it's
right,
really
it's
awesome.
It's friggin' incredible that
right,
we're getting
Joe?
This.
support.
So
it's
yeah,
like the epitome of a white mage, straight up support, yo.
Yeah. We just want to show our love and our thanks to everyone who's supporting us and who's really pushing us. It's your guys' feedback and your guys coming up to us is what's continuing to push us forward and to keep doing this. So thank you guys for that. And to lead on top of that, I also want to mention us and our listeners episodes that we're trying to have.
I don't know why you keep saying video.
I really want to make them videos, I guess. But yeah, our listener episodes, again, the beginning of each month. Our first one's going to be on March 1st. We have some interesting stories so far, but we'd like more. If you can send more in, that would be great. Our deadline is next week on the 19th. Actually, this episode will be out before, way after that. So, yeah, I mean, we have listener videos on the first of every month. If you miss the March one, you can always catch us on the first of April. You could start sending us your stories for that one. So, yeah, we'll show our appreciation also on that episode more so. So, yeah, let's get started. Joe, do you want to go first? Do I want to go first? You went first last time.
I went first last time. Rochambeau. So, it's up to you.
Rochambeau.
She's saying Rochambeau.
Fight for it. To the death.
So, ready? One.
Just because it's paranormal doesn't mean we have to fight to the death for it. Because
most of them are already dead. Anyways, ready?
I choose Sam to go first.
I will go first. Seems like I'm starting it off for weak paranormal.
Or maybe I should because it is my week.
I'm going to start off, okay?
Okay. But it's Joe's week anyway.
I don't fucking care anymore.
We broke Sam. Officially broken.
I want to be home planking parts right now.
Wait, we forgot an important part.
What?
What tea are you drinking today?
Oh, I seriously almost forgot this
you
shit.
You almost did.
Well, thank you, Joe, for asking and reminding. Thank you. Well, to answer Joe's question, I am basic bitch again with my Arizona. Went back to the sweet tea because we all know how much I love that one. What about you, Joe? What do you got?
Today, I am drinking the same brand that I had last week called Harney and Sons Fine Teas. Except it is the holiday blend that we mentioned last week, the black tea with holiday spices. And man,
it's like Christmas.
Man, it's like Christmas in my mouth all over again.
Well, actually, we have to say it's like the holidays now.
It's like the holidays.
Appreciate all different types of holidays.
Anyway, it is a black tea with the character a sweet, spicy, and fruity fragrance that awakens the holiday spirit within. And it's great. What it says the effects are on this. It says joy in giving, which is amazing.
Because Valentine's Day is tomorrow.
Yeah, so enjoy that giving.
Technically, it's today. It's 12 in the morning right now.
Technicality. If we go by some people's technicality, it isn't the next day until you go to sleep and the sun comes up.
Well, I don't plan on going to sleep because Kingdom Hearts is calling my name right now. So, Yelly, what are you drinking?
Today, I am drinking the Tazo brand Gingerly Jasmine because I'm feeling a little tickle in my throat, so I might be getting sick.
And she's sitting right next to me, folks. Thank you.
Hello, Joe.
Oh,
no,
yes,
it's been hard. I mean, a lot of people are getting sick because of the weather right now. So.
Sure, we'll say that.
Take some zinc.
I have an emergency I'm going to take tomorrow and just like pound like 12 of those. Like,
yeah, that's a bad idea. The packet literally says to take one per day.
Okay, one per day. Don't listen to me, people.
Don't listen to her. What? That's negative 1 point to Team Myth on giving very bad advice to people out there. There could be children listening to this yelling. Children.
Hey, don't blame the children's mistake on me, okay? I didn't start the whole Tide Pod trend and all that stuff, okay?
Tide Pod.
Those little laundry things.
Tripod.
Joe, you're on one today, aren't you?
He's always on one now. I think it's the tea's getting to him. So okay.
The tea is good.
Let's get started. So
come into my house. Drink my tea.
Thank you for the tea.
Make fun of my anger.
Say fluidity.
Say horror.
You guys know what? I'm not even needed for this episode. I'm gonna walk away. Right
we need
now.
You, Yelly.
Don't leave us. Come back to me.
Do I get my point back?
Oh.
Yes, you can.
No.
Joe gave it to me. It's already said
no.
It done.
No. Joseph, you are losing 1 point, so you can give one presents? To Myth because you're giving her a point back. You
Fine.
Lose one and you gave it to her.
Fine.
Then.
I'll top one land to give to Yelly. Okay. Story time. Paranormal okay. story time.
All right, let's so...
go. Let's hear the paranormal.
Is it really paranormal? I'm Give covering an paranormal. Alien abduction today.
Give us the paranormal.
Alrighty, so as I said, I'm covering an alien abduction. It's the called the Travis Walton alien abduction. Have you guys heard of it?
Yes.
Yelly?
Would it technically be paranormal if it's aliens?
Yes.
I wondered about that too, but I still...
Let's just say that it is.
Well, I figured it was more in paranormal than in myth.
Because of the activity?
I don't know. I just figured I'd cover an alien abduction during paranormal.
I don't know. Let's let the listeners comment on it and let us know. Do you think aliens are more paranormal or more myth? Conspiracy myths or just plain
That's like
myths?
What I asked last week. Where should I cover conspiracy theories? Because I do want to cover conspiracy theories.
I would assume that would be under myth.
And why? Why is it not underneath?
Science
paranormal.
Fiction. Maybe we should just have a science fiction area.
Yeah.
We should just have a gray
Sci-fi.
Area.
Sci-fi. Gray area, just like those tea. Just like those gray aliens. That's in the car. I could have had that.
So yeah, I'm covering the Travis Walton alien abduction. It's actually one of the most famous alien abductions that ever happened. Have you ever heard of the movie?
Who says it's one of the famous?
Well, it was a movie, but it was based off of it. Called Fire in the Sky.
It was based off of a book.
Which too, he wrote.
So
he
was
wrote.
The book more famous?
No, the movie was.
The movie was.
Yeah, definitely. Yelly's never heard of it. Mm-hmm. Joe.
I'm going in blind.
All right.
Just going in dry.
Yep, going in dry there.
People at work listen to this. Children listen to this, probably.
Children don't listen.
Never know.
Okay, if you're listening, if you're letting your children listen to this.
You're a great parent.
I was going to say the same thing, but I was waiting on Yelly to go like, shame, shame.
Confess.
Right?
Confess. Every little kid needs a bit of paranormal in their lives.
And aliens. Murder.
And murder.
And murder. And myth. I was waiting. Yelly, are you? Sorry.
I'm like tired.
I'm waiting for Yelly to like
blank face looking at her. I'm just like,
she's like staring at a bee, a non-existent bee on the wall or whatever. The aliens that are behind me that she only sees.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, Yelly has left the office again.
Yep. Right. Beam me up, Scotty.
Okay, let's jump into it. Okay, so Travis Walton was born February 10th, 1953, and is an American logger who is supposedly abducted by a UFO on November 5th, 1975.
What's an American logger? Like the people that would like ride the logs down the river? Because that's what I'm picturing right now.
A logger is someone who cuts down trees for a living.
Wouldn't that be a lumberjack guy?
Logger.
What?
Paul Bunyan. Kind of, but
like the little like I was about to say brony, no, it's not even downy. What's the napkin brown that has
bounce? Brawn?
You know, we really shouldn't be saying these things.
Oh, my bad.
I'm pretty sure it's
the
brawn,
napkin though. Lumberjack guy.
It's kind of like brawn.
Everybody knows.
Yeah, but he's a logger, so people who deal with like cutting down trees and dealing with wood. His own wood.
So much wood.
Okay, so yeah. So while working with a logging crew.
Wait, I have another question though.
Yeah.
So you say he's an American logger.
Yeah.
So if you're not in America and cutting down trees, does that make you like an African logger if you're cutting trees down in Africa?
Sure.
What about like if you're in Sweden?
We're just trying to specify that this happened in America.
Okay. I just didn't know if that was the labeling.
Tried to like say, okay, it happened here in America, in the U.S.
And he was a logger.
And he's a logger. Okay. Yes.
Not just an American logger. Okay.
Let's narrow this down. I'm going to narrow this down for you.
After tonight, I'm definitely going to need a logger.
Oh, God, Joe. Okay, so while working with.
Was that a pun?
No.
No, yes, beer. It's a beer joke.
Minus 1 point for Joe for the punnies.
I wasn't trying to make
a minus 1 point to Myth for not catching that.
I understood that, but he was making.
I wasn't making a pun. It was just logger.
But you said logger.
No, Joe, you were making a pun. Yes,
you were.
Oh, my God. Okay, carry on with the story.
With the
American logger.
Haven't even finished the first paragraph yet.
That's good.
While working with a logging crew in the Apache Sitgraves National Forest in Arizona, Walton could not be found but reappeared after 5 days.
So he couldn't be found but reappeared 5 days in that forest.
Yes.
Do you think it was more a paranormal, like, ghost from the Apache Sitgraves instead of aliens, maybe?
And claimed it to be aliens. The Walton case received mainstream publicity and remains one of the best known instances of alleged alien abduction. UFO historian Jerome Clark writes that few abduction reports have generated as much controversy as the Walton case. It is furthermore one of the very few alien abduction cases where the time allegedly spent in custody of alien plays a rather minor role in the overall account. I'm on one today, I guess.
Have some more tea, Sam.
Right, just have some teas. Chill the fuck out. So yeah, it's a huge controversy because you're gonna learn why.
Well, tell me why, Sam.
I will tell you why, Yelly.
Oh, I'm so sleep deprived right now.
I think we all are. Okay.
We got this, though. Power through.
The case began on Wednesday, November 5th, 1975. Then Walton 22 was employed by Mike Rogers. Remember these names, they're going to be important.
Mike Rogers and who?
Walton.
Mike
Travis
Walton?
Walton.
Travis Walton?
Yes.
And Mike Rogers?
Yes.
Travis Walton.
Like Steve Rogers, but Mike instead.
You're going to confuse her, Joe.
Okay.
So now there's a Steve?
No. Negative 1 point to paranormal for confusing the shit out of Yelly.
You have to realize I'm running on like 4 hours of sleep right now. Just like...
Okay, okay. There's no Steve Rogers, just Mike Rogers.
Okay.
Rogers and Walton were best friends.
Well, hey, they best are friends.
Still best friends.
Best friends.
In fact,
best
Walton friends. Actually ends up marrying Roger's sister later on down the road.
For a second, I was like, they married each other?
Let's see. So others on the crew, you don't have to remember these names. They're not as important. But the other ones on the crew is Ken Peterson, John Goulet, Steve Pierce, Alan Dalys, and Dwayne Smith.
Dwayne the Rock Johnson. Heck yeah.
And they all lived in a small town called Snowflake, Arizona.
Snowflake.
What are the odds, you know, in Arizona?
What is that?
What? I just said Snowflake. I can't say Snowflake.
You sounded like Ace Ventura saying Snowflake.
That's kind of what I was...
Oh, God. So you were going for that?
Here's Snowflake.
Let's see. So Rogers, remember Roger, was hired to thin out scrub bushes and undergrowth from a large area, more than 1,200 acres to be precise.
What's undergrowth?
Like a lot of things that can burn.
Like roots?
Yeah. No, undergrowth like shrubs and bushes, stuff that can be burnt, that can easily catch fire burn.
Cool.
Yep. Near the Turkey Springs, Arizona. The job was the most lucrative contract Roger had ever received from the Forest Services, but the job was behind schedule. As a result, they worked overtime to fulfill the contract. Typically. From 6 a.m. till sundown.
Fluidity.
You'll get there eventually, Yelly.
I said it wrong?
Yes!
You had an extra D.
Oh.
A
D. She likes the extra D.
Extra D. Fluidity.
There you go.
There you go. Okay.
Fluidity.
Yeah. Just after 6 p.m. on November 5th, Roger and his crew finished their work for the day and piled into Roger's truck for the drive back to Snowflake. The crew reported that shortly after beginning the drive home, they saw a bright light, kind of like the ones we saw today. You know, the bright lights that were in the sky?
Yeah, we saw those too.
Yeah, but right?
Those looked more like signal.
Well, they were spotlights.
Yeah, spotlights. That's kind of what I assumed they were.
Yeah. But, like they said...
You know what happens when you assume, Joe.
Well...
It makes an ass out of you and me.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Or you're just assuming what that is.
Negative 1 point to Team Myth and to Team Paranormal.
Oh, come on.
I can't do nothing.
I'm going to say negative 1 point to Murderer for taking points away from Myth and Paranormal for no good reason.
Not having a sense of humor.
Do I sense a tag team?
No, you don't.
I think we are, Joe.
Thank you. I will give a point to Team Myth for admitting the truth.
Oh my god.
I plead the fifth.
No, not the intention. Okay, let's continue with the story.
Okay, the crew reported that shortly after beginning the drive home, they saw a bright light from behind a hill. They drove closer and said they saw a large silvery disc hovering above a clearing and shining brightly. It was around 8 feet and 20 feet in diameter. 8 feet height and 20 feet in diameter. Roger stopped the truck and Walton leapt out and ran toward the disc.
Of course you would, because why not?
Does that, like, come on, you see something, I don't know what the fuck that is.
Maybe he really thought it was a frisbee. I was like, I'm gonna catch that shit.
Didn't they all, like, I'm remembering the movie, and didn't they all like get out to chase after him to be like, hey, stupid, get back? Yeah,
but
yeah.
What year was this again?
This is 1950s, like
70s,
1970s, sorry.
Joe, giving me false information.
1975. Yes.
I thought it was 1957.
All right, so Walton leapt out and ran toward the disc. The others said they shouted at Walton to come back, but he continued toward the disc. The men in the truck reported that Walton was nearly below the object when the disc began to make noises similar to a loud turbine. The disc then began to wobble from side to side, and Walton began to continuously walk toward the object.
Yeah,
so I thought you said he was running.
Well, now he's walking.
When he got up to nearly underneath the disc, he started to walk closer to it.
So
yeah.
He was going to get beat me up.
Pretty much.
Jerome Clark wrote that just after Walton moved away from the disc, the others insisted they saw a beam of blue-green light coming from the disc and strike Walton. Clark went on to write that Walton rose a foot into the air, his arms and legs outstretched, and shot back stiffly some 10 feet, all the while caught in the glow of the light. His right shoulder hit the earth and his body sprawled limply over the ground. In other words, he got tossed.
Just magically?
By the light.
By the light.
Leviosa!
The tractor beam. It's what's Leviosa. Referred to as a tractor beam.
Right, so the beam was picked like, him up and bitch!
Then picked him up and then tossed
Maybe
him.
Maybe they realized it wasn't a cow.
Tossed so a salad like, so far.
Why a cow?
Because that's like...
There's a paranormal...
Nostalgic? I don't know.
Nostalgic. There's a old thing going around that cows were getting abducted by aliens. Getting surgically...
Implanted.
Not implanted. For alien babies. But there's like surgical cutting or like precise surgical cutting on them. Yeah, and then they were being found.
You're giving away Sam's story.
No, he's not, but I know what he's talking about. I was seeing if you knew what we were talking about.
I don't know anything.
Because you're the one who brought it up.
Like, they wanted to make hamburgers?
That's why the aliens are here.
They wanted some filet mignon.
Okay, so after that incident, about 7:30 p.m., Patterson called police from Hebert, Arizona, near Snowflake. Deputy Sheriff Chuck Elson answered the telephone. Peterson initially reported only that one of the logging crew was missing. Elson then met the crew at a shopping center. So they left there. After they noticed him getting fucked up by this beam, they are like, let's take off. We're gone. We're done with this shit.
They did the smart thing and got the fuck out of there.
Right. So Deputy Sheriff Chuck Elson answered the phone. Peterson initially reported that only one of the logging crew was missing. Elson then met with the crew at a shopping center. They related the tale to him. All of the men distraught, two of them in tears, and though he was somewhat skeptical of the frantic account, Elson would later relate that if they were all acting, they were awfully good at it.
Wow, so he thought they were just all acting.
Yeah, he thought that they were acting. He's like, but hey, they're pretty good actors if they're acting. After they had given all of the stories, the sheriff first was a little skeptical, but then after they insisted on returning to the same place that the scene actually happened, and they wanted to be taken there immediately. Crew members Smith, Pierce, and Glutton were too upset and not much help for the search, so they actually decided to return home and also to relay the news on to Walton's family that he's missing. They stayed behind while Rogers and two other ones went back to help the police search. At the scene, the law enforcement officers became suspicious of the story related by the crew, mainly because there was no physical evidence. They got there, everything looked normal. There was no impressions in the ground where supposedly he was slammed down. The only thing that was there was the truck's like imprint of the wheels and whatnot. Everything else, they were just like, so you guys were talking about this flying disc that was huge. You guys talked about him getting slammed on the ground. Where is this imprint? Where is this physical evidence? Found nothing. So they were just like, you know, this is suspicious. So they arrived, they asked for more people to come and help the search, but there was still no trace of Walton. Winter nights in that time were really, really cold, actually known to get below freezing, and Walton was only in jeans, a demi jacket, and a shirt. So they were more afraid of him getting hypothermia than anything else.
A denim jacket?
Yeah, a denim jacket. Walton's family was advised of his disappearance and moved quickly to help also with the search. By morning of November 6th, officials and volunteers had scrounged the area around the scene where Walton went missing. No traces of him were discovered, not even like clothing, shoes, articles, not even hair. And the police suspicions were growing that the UFO tale was just a cover-up for an incident or possibly even a homicide.
Oh, no.
Yes. By Saturday, so this all started on a Wednesday, might I add. So by Saturday, word of Walton's disappearance had spread and it actually became international news. News reporters, ufologists, and the curious began traveling to Snowflake to both assist and also check out the alien accounts of this, because the stories went around saying that he was abducted by a flying saucer.
But that's what this whole mission was, right? It was just to claim abduction so that you can get some notoriety for the town.
Well, yeah, that's what a lot of the controversy behind this for the longest time was. These people had a elaborate plan for him to be missing for so many days, and then they were going to get money off of it.
Huh. I was just like shooting in the dark there, but okay.
No, that's the
main... You were in the whole story, Joe!
Essentially, I don't need to read this anymore. Joe already knows.
That was a guess. It was a guess.
It's a very educated guess. So the search for Walton intensified. In the meanwhile, police officers were making repeated visits to Walton's mother. They would question her for hours. Most of the time, she would end up breaking down and crying in tears. It got to the point that she would not allow them in the house, and Walter's older brother, Dune, A-N-E. Yeah. Told her to only accept interviews outside of the house, so that way to end it, all she had to do was walk inside. Because they would literally chase her around and be like, no, you have to answer questions. This is fishy. There's no way this could be an abduction. This is you hiding her or trying to get publicity. Hiding him. So they would just basically, like, torture his mom. It was actually kind of sad. So, but the police took her running inside, back inside the house.
Suspicious.
They're like, are you sure she's not trying to hide something or someone? So they would constantly nag at her and be like, you know, you're probably behind this because you need the money or you want the attention. Mm-hmm. On Monday, November 10th, all of the crew took polygraph exams and they were all administered by the same guy. His name was C.Y. Gilson, an Arizona Department of Public Safety employee, aka police officer. His questions asked, he questioned and asked if any of the men caused harm to Walton or knew who had caused harm, or if they knew where his body was or where his body was buried, if they had told the truth about seeing a UFO. All the men denied harming him and knowing for where he was located. They denied knowing where his body was and insisted they had indeed seen a UFO. And here's the kicker. They all passed. So even taking a polygraph test,
I thought they all failed.
Nope, they all passed with flying fucking colors. Huh. Minus one, actually. It came out as conclusive, but that doesn't mean you passed or failed.
Inconclusive, yeah.
It doesn't mean you passed or failed, though. It just means he actually had a panic attack in the middle of the thing. So because he had a heart issue, too, it kind of threw off the machine. So in the process of doing the interview, his heart was acting up. He ended up having a panic attack, so they couldn't conclusively say anything.
Why didn't they just do the test again?
Well, it's said that if you have heart problems, it's kind of hard for you to take a polygraph. Anyways. But either way, whenever he would, he ended up in the future taking another polygraph and he passed. But always, these guys would take actually multiple polygraphs in their life, like ask the same questions, and they would all pass with flying colors. Really amazing that they would ask the same questions, they would answer them, and they'd pass. Gilson, the person who did the test, responded with, these polygraph examinations prove that these five men did see some object that believed to be a UFO, and that Travis Walton was not injured or murdered by any of these men on that Wednesday evening, and that all these men had no prior knowledge of anything that was to happen, and they do believe that the UFO was not fake. So basically, it proved that they are saying the truth, and they believe what they actually saw. This doesn't really prove a lot to some people, because they're like, well, anyone can actually fake a polygraph. And polygraphs are only, like, what, 90% accurate?
Roughly, if that. Yeah. I thought it was, like, 80-something.
Yeah, that's why, technically, if you take a polygraph, it's not allowed to be submitted in court, because it's can be fooled by a lot of people. So
it takes, a steady heartbeat and, like, a calm voice or something. Like, you have to be sure of what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of people have been able to pass polygraphs, and then evidence, like solid actual evidence, proves that they were lying. So that's why polygraphs are no longer admissible in court.
They're too much of a variable.
Yeah, and technically, police officers are not supposed to use them, and they're not supposed to base off their investigation or evidence off of polygraphs. But they still do. They're not supposed to, but they still do. So that's just a little.
That's the thing, is just like, why do they still even have them? I mean, I know there's a vast majority of people who will have a hard time passing those type of things, but if there's still that, like, 90% where somebody could fool the machine, then...
They're trying to... It's not just fooling the machine. What they're trying to do is they're trying to get someone to break under the pressure.
The pressure, yeah.
Okay. So they're like, if we could...
More like a scare tactic.
Yeah, there you go. It's a great scare tactic. And then also, just because it's not 100% foolproof, it can help them with getting somewhere.
No, I guess, like, that's true.
Direction.
Yeah, a good direction of where they need to go.
I guess that's true, yeah.
So, but again, polygraphs are actually a huge controversial topic right now. Some people are like all for them, and there's people who are like, no, they just need to be taken out altogether. And with technology improving nowadays, polygraphs are actually supposedly becoming more accurate. So, following the polygraph test, Sheriff Gillespie announced that he accepted the UFO story, saying there's no doubt they're telling the truth. So that did not help fuel the news going crazy on this, that the police department was 100% behind the idea that this was, in fact, an alien abduction.
So it was
they're in on it too.
Right?
Yeah, that's what I was like. So the police department of Snowflake.
Yeah.
Yes.
See how it just snowflakes into it?
Oh.
It's like a snowball. One snowflake makes a snowball. Can lead to a snowball. I don't know. Let's continue to the story with the story.
All right. So Tuesday, November 11th, Walton returned. Instead of calling the police, Walton actually just called his brother, and his brother took him to a doctor. They didn't even call the police. They didn't do anything. Walton, they just were like, you know, we'll handle this without police.
Yeah, because you were only just interrogated by a whole bunch of them. Let's not go to the police and tell
him. What if he was just really worried about his brother? And was like,
well, I could understand taking him first to the hospital to get him looked at, but not contacting the police.
It's not like he took him home.
They didn't inform the police at all.
Yeah.
He just straight picked him up and was just like, we're taking you to, okay, literally, in parentheses, a doctor.
So did this doctor live in a shack?
Actually, the doctor was someone that, I forgot who, but it was a news place that really wanted, I guess, the insider loop to it or the first scoop to it. They said that if they got the first scoop, that they would write him a big old fat check and they would have him checked out by a professional doctor. This professional doctor was actually a hypnotherapist. So it wasn't a doctor. It was just...
So he hypnotized him to believe he was an alien and...
No.
For the story.
So this is where the stories vary. Supposedly, once they found out that the doctor wasn't an actual doctor and just a hypnotherapist, they supposedly left after 45 minutes of being there, but accounts say that they were there for like 2 hours. So it varies from 45 minutes to 2 hours. They were really just trying to get him to remember what happened. But Walton to this day says he doesn't remember everything that happened.
You got the amnesia.
Yeah. And this is where it gets a little bit more funny. So the police were the last to know that Walton was around.
Uh-huh. Oh my God. How long was it before they found out?
Almost like into the evening of the day that he returned.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So he returned like early butt-ass in the morning before the sun even came up. And by the late afternoon to mid-afternoon, the police finally heard wind from the media that Walton was around.
Oh my God.
So they had to hear a news clip that Walton has appeared. And they're just like, what the fuck? Uh-huh. When did this happen? Mm-hmm. It made headlines by the late afternoon. Later that day, Walton was finally examined by two licensed doctors, Joseph Saltz and Howard Kendall.
Don't put me in your story.
The media examination related that Walton was essentially in good health, but they did note two unusual features. A small red spot on the crease of Walton's right elbow that was consistent with a hypodermic injection. But the doctors also noted that the spot was not near a vein. So they're just like a random injection in his arm. Okay. Who likes being injected randomly? I don't. So analysis of Walton's urine revealed a lack of ketose. This is unusual given that Walton had indeed gone 5 days with little to no food as he insisted. And his major weight loss also suggested this. His body should have begun breaking down fats in order to survive. And this should have... led to a very high level of ketose in his urine, but he lacked this. Critics would argue that this is inconsistent in evidence that he was abducted. They're like, oh, just because he's lacking ketose doesn't mean that he was abducted. Maybe he just starved himself, locked himself away and just starved himself. Does that make sense?
For 5 days?
Yeah, he was gone for 5 days.
I was trying to like picture myself not eating in 5 days, and I was like, no, I don't even think I lost like 3 hours.
Dude, I went 2 weeks once.
Without eating anything?
I was on a liquid diet. Surgery.
But that's liquid. Like, you at least had something.
Well, yeah. I mean, he probably had at least liquid to go off of, but...
Are you sure?
I don't know.
Creepy wind sound.
You can ask him yourself. He's still alive.
Oh, dang!
Yeah. So, this is the account of Walton's abduction. Walton reported that after approaching the UFO near the work site, the last thing he remembered was being struck by a beam of light. When he woke, Walton said he was on a reclined bed. A bright light shone above him and the air was heavy and wet. He was in pain and had some trouble breathing. His first thought was that he was in a normal hospital.
That's what I would assume too, with wet air, with moist air.
Walton realized he was surrounded by three figures, each wearing a sort of orange jumpsuit. The figures were not human. Walton described the beings as a typical soul-cold gray. They were shorter than 5 feet. They had bald heads, no hair. Their head was domed, very large. They looked like fetuses. They had large eyes, enormous, almost all brown without much white in them. The creepiest thing about them were those eyes. They just stared through me. Their ears and nose and mouths seemed really small, maybe just because their eyes were so huge.
They look like aliens. They have big eyes and bulbousy, bulb-looking heads.
She's so
boring. And small noses and ears and mouths, but that could just be due to their big eyes. They got big anime eyes.
Walton related that he feared for his safety and got on his feet and shouted at the creatures to stay away. He grabbed an object and waved it at them to stay away. He reported the trio left the room almost immediately. Walton then left the exam room, entered a hallway that led to a spherical room with only a high-backed chair placed in the center of the room. He walked toward the chair and sat in it when he saw it was empty. When he did this, the room then filled with light, similar to a star's being projected on a round circular ceiling.
Round circular ceiling?
Yeah, kind of like a, you know, like at the Tech Museum, they have the, what is it called? Like a,
the dome?
Yeah, the dome. Yeah, kind of like that.
Oh.
Yeah. The chair was equipped, as he literally put in... It was equipped on the left arm with a single short, thick lever with an oddly shaped molded handle on top of it. Some dark brown material. On the right arm, there was an illuminated lime green screen about five inches square. Back lines intersected on all angles. Kind of like a Tetris, I guess. A tic-tac-toe playing on it. Oh. When he pushed the lever, he reported that the stars rotated around... When he pushed the lever, he reported that the stars rotated around him slowly. When he released the lever, the stars remained at their new position. He stopped playing with the lever, giggity, got up, and everything disappeared. He attempted to leave the room, but when he turned around, he was surprised to see a tall human figure wearing blue overalls with a glassy helmet. The man's eyes were larger than normal and were a bright gold color. Walton asked questions, and this human never answered. He simply waited for him to follow. Why does that remind me of, like, No Face? Huh? Huh? Huh?
It's kind of weird because it's in a spacesuit.
Yeah,
kind of like.
He was wearing overalls. Yeah,
like a farmer one. Maybe that's why they depict out what alien wearing the farmer's clothes with the wife.
Maybe. Oh yeah, huh? I never thought of that.
See, I'm participating.
Okay, so. But Walton thought that the helmet that he was wearing was too tight. But either way, he trusted and he followed. He walked on a ramp down a large room. The man led him to another room containing three more humans, a woman and two men. They did not wear helmets. He tried talking to them, but they simply responded with a dull grin and led him by his arm to a small table.
That's creepy.
I pictured it like pretty just like, creepily. Yeah. Thank you, Joe, for that really awkward.
I want to see you do it.
She was just like.
It looks silly.
So once he was seated on the table, Walton said he realized the woman had a device like an oxygen mask, and when she placed it on his face, he instantly fell asleep. He had no time to fight back.
Am I kind of getting chills just on the thought of it? Just like coming in, seeing these people. And
he followed them. Like
no, but still, and then getting this gas mask put on
you. How bored do you have to be like, fuck it, I'm going to go.
Right? Like, I'm already this far in. Like, come on. I saw these tiny little gray people.
This is the weirdest acid trip I've ever been on.
Right? So when Walton woke again, he was outside a gas station in Herbert, Arizona. The disc-shaped aircraft hovered above him and took off. Walton stumbled to the telephone and called his brother. To Walton, he thought he was only gone for like a couple hours, but didn't realize that he'd actually been missing for 5 days. So for the whole 5 days, like... but yeah, that's the only thing he ever recalled. He recalled nothing else that happened to him in the 5 days that he was gone.
Wow.
So no matter how many hypnotherapists, I just totally imagine like a hippogrim, like, and how does that make you feel? Yeah.
Hungry. I have a gift.
Right? So yeah, no matter how many doctors, how many like hypnotherapists he went to and everything, he could not remember anything. Some doctors claimed that this was like a defense mechanism. They were afraid like if he did remember everything, would his brain or would he be able to handle it? It was just a number of things. Or maybe he just wasn't imaginative to like, what did I do for 5 days to come up with anything? So they don't know. They tried to get it out of him, but it never worked. When the story had gone out, people thought Walton had been hit on the head and drugged. Then he was taken to a normal hospital where he was confused about the details of a routine exam with something else. So they all thought that maybe he just, like Joe said, was on a high acid trip. Maybe he was in a a hospital or something like that.
PTS kind of
situation. Yeah, so that's when they were like, polygraph test, with, you know, and fire, and they're just like, do it! And Quasimodo went running away because he doesn't like fire. Walton only ever remembered 2 hours or so of what happened, and even after many tries, was never able to remember all 5 days. Walton's brother, Dune, was worried about his brother, fearing for his brother's nervous state and what effects the result could do on him, the test results. So John J. MacArthur administered the polygraph test, which remains a huge controversy right now. Walton claimed that MacArthur behaved unprofessionally. He would actually ask him stupid questions like, hey, have you ever thought of having, like, there were some really stupid questions. They're like, so way back in the day when you were a kid with your brother, did you guys ever look at women or like look at, like, he would ask him just really irrelevant, stupid questions that eventually pissed off Walton. MacArthur insisted Walton both failed the polygraph and tried to cheat. Arguments broke out between the two and Walton felt attacked and treated unfairly. MacArthur asked a bunch of stupid, irrelevant questions, followed up by, so do you think you were taken by a UFO, or do you believe your story to be true, and when you were younger, do you remember ever having a pet? Like, just randomly throwing these like questions that would be like, wait, what the fuck type of moment. And then he would use big questions or big words that Walton didn't understand. So when he would ask him, hey, can you tell me what that word means, he would be like, oh, well, I guess you don't understand it, but it means this. So he would insult him openly too. So that's why the polygraph was considered a controversy. They were just like, does it really count? And they also insisted that MacArthur was biased and had a thing against him. So that didn't help with that too.
But he was jealous because he didn't get freaking probed.
So yeah, that test came out as he was lying. So after completing the exam, MacArthur determined that Walton was lying. MacArthur reported, based on his reactions on all charts, it is in the opinion of the examiner that Walton worked with the others and is attempting to make up a UFO hoax, and that he had actually not been in a spacecraft and was on something else. He said that during some of the exams, sometimes he would watch Travis try to hold his breath and effects to throw off the machine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, one of the ways to try to throw off a polygraph is to hold your breath. At first, the results of the test were kept quiet for about 8 months, but then the results got leaked. Walton would take 2 more tests before these tests were leaked, and he had actually passed all of them. But when these test results came out 8 months later, it didn't matter what the other two were. Because they're like, why were you guys trying to hide them in the first place? Why didn't you guys just release them right away? Even though he had passed 2 other ones by 2 different people, they kept going back to his very first one that he failed. This made everyone look at Walton as a fake, seeking attention and fame, and he got it. Walton argued that the first take could not have been taken seriously because MacArthur was biased and asked more embarrassing and irrelevant questions to throw him off. Others have supported Walton, saying MacArthur's methods were out of date and was used more to make people fail. The aftermath of all this actually benefited Walton's family tremendously. Walton ended up publishing a book called The Walton Experience, in which he outlined his own narrative to the event. This came out in 1978, but his book got major criticism because it felt more like you were reading from a storyteller book than an actual account of what happened, including supposed conversations his friends and family made while he was abducted. He was writing as if he was actually there. So he was like storyteller mode more than anything else. Mm-hmm. So they're like, well, if you only remember 2 hours, why are you giving us like 3 fucking paragraphs or 3 fucking chapters of what happened? Yeah, he tried. Yeah, it was very controversial. So it was heavily criticized. And a lot of people were just like, yeah, you're again just trying to make money. So after everything, Walton remained in Snowflake and he eventually became a foreman at a lumber mill. He married Dara Rogers. Roger's sister, and they had several children, didn't know the exact number. Walton had made several occasional appearances on UFO conventions and even TV specials. His experience even was adapted into a film in 1993, and it was called Fire in the Sky. The movie was called Fire in the Sky?
Yeah, it was called Fire in the Sky.
It was called Fire in the Sky. The film made moderate success and had mixed reviews, as many complained that it was inaccurate and grossly over-exaggerated. Actually, the screenwriter, Tracy Tome, had sent out letters to many people claiming and apologizing that it was the studio officials for asking them to alter everything. So if you watch the film, you're just like, wow, that's full of shit. Because they added a lot of things that actually didn't happen. They were like, well, it's a movie. Of course it needs to look good. That got a lot of shit from it. So, but yeah, to this day, everyone still claims what truly happened. They've taken multiple polygraphs and they still pass. They all still pass with flying colors. That even Walton has taken other polygraph tests and he still passed. Did they really see an alien abduction?
What do you believe, Sam?
What do I believe?
I want to believe.
Well, that's we know what Joe.
I know. I was like,
Joe was just like, really, right?
Did anybody ever watch X-Files?
Yeah.
I'm dating myself. I'm just going to sit back and.
Well, don't sit back because it's your turn now. That ends my story. So it ends with.
Well, you didn't say if you believe or not.
I believe to an extent.
To an extent.
That's yeah. Like saying.
Maybe.
It's like the cope-out answer. That's like.
It's like maybe.
I'm not tired.
I believe there is something out there. Whether I believe his story is true or not, I think. It was a good story.
That's You're such a cop-out fucking answer. That like, goes, yes or no, woman.
Yes, I believe that there is something out there in the universe. Do I believe his story is fake? Yes, I do. I do believe his story is fake.
There are too many variables being
there
like...
is a lot of variables in it. And I'm the one who did this research. I tried to make it as small as possible. But everything I fucking read screamed, this is bullshit. Because apparently 2 weeks before he was abducted, him and his brother watched an alien, like, show. And were just like, whoa, wouldn't it be so cool if, like, one of us got abducted? They also had this pact that if they ever saw a UFO, instead of running from it, they would run to it. Because, in quotations, aliens don't hurt people. And he knew this. His brother was telling all, like, spilling his guts about, like, oh, yeah, me and my brother have always been alien enthusiasts. Like, we were so excited about this. And then you have Walton turn around and be like, no, I was never an alien enthusiast. Like, I don't know what my brother's talking about. Blah, 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 blah. So he had a lot of people that were like, dude, you openly talked about how you wanted to be abducted by aliens. You openly talked about how you liked aliens and you knew all this information about aliens. And now you're totally 180 around it. Yeah, so it's kind of controversy right now. I didn't want to put all of that in there. We have a lot to cover and we're trying to, like, you know, time-wise. Oh, yeah. Oh, so yeah. I was just like, do I just want to try and give as much facts without trying to be negative on it or, like, trying to cover up anything on it? I want people to, like, look up their own and... put their own facts to it, because I'm pretty sure there are hardcore believers thinking, no, he really was alien abducted. Like, this is a true thing.
So, and then, like Joe.
Yeah. And then there's people out there who are just like me. I'm like, I smell bullshit. But I do believe aliens are real. I will admit it. I do believe they're real. But do I believe his account is real? No. So that leaves my story of that alien abduction. Woo! So what do you have for us, Joe?
La Posada del Sol, which is a rough translation to the Sun Hotel or Inn, or as Yelly had actually pointed out earlier, might actually be called the Parade of the Sun Hotel, specifically.
Parade of the Sun Hotel?
Yeah, more specifically, I remember Yelly was mentioning that earlier.
Posadas are usually, like, at least for us, like, during Christmas time was, like, when... representations, but I don't know if that's the same,
but
like, it was like a march, or like it was when it's like very biblical. It's when Mary and like what's his face were like looking. Oh, sorry, I'm just so tired.
That's fine.
They were looking for shelter, so they would go door to door holding candles and stuff until like someone opened and welcomed them in. So during Christmas time, especially in Mexico, they have what they call posadas, which is like a little parade or march of people just going around door to door, and like usually someone in the community will host a party as like the representation of like
right,
them accepting them into their home.
That makes sense.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know that actually.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. I'm speaking specifically of the one in Mexico City. There are other hotels called Posada del Sol. The one that I'm speaking of is specifically in Mexico City. Construction began in the early 1900s by an individual named Fernando Saldana Galvan, and his goal was to create one of the most extravagant hotels in the world, pretty much. So he's pretty much trying to create one of the top-of-the-line hotels that you can go to.
In Mexico,
yeah, in Mexico City. He wanted to try to combine classic colonial architecture with modern art of that time. The one thing that this kind of reminds me of is the video game Bioshock. The very beginning, they have an entrance or a big banner that says, "No gods or kings, only man." So basically, he wanted it to be a place where artists and intellectuals can go to in order to basically speak their minds or be able to have intellectual talks with other people without really being judged. So it was
like
pretty interesting.
Like religiously judged or just judged?
Not religiously judged, just judged in general. Like if you had an idea, you wouldn't be considered like a madman or whatever. Looking at some of the pictures that I found online, it's actually quite the hodgepodge of different types of things. It's pretty interesting. The overall outcome ended up becoming a unique piece of art, and Gauvin had actually quoted himself, "It's a piece of art that has no sense, maybe reaching the point of schizophrenia. However, it doesn't lack any ingenuity." So basically, he designed the hotel from an artist's perspective, pretty much combining a lot of different cultures, different architectural designs and stuff like that, which is pretty interesting.
I was thinking more of like kind of almost like a, what is the mystery house that we have here?
Oh, the Winchester Mystery House?
Yeah, how they just made it randomly because they said they supposedly made it to... The way that they made the Winchester Mystery House is because they were trying to throw off the ghost.
Yeah, pretty much. Because
there was no rhyme or reason as to why walls...
But no, this was... He meant for this hotel to be purely a hotel. There wasn't any... supposed to be any rhyme or reason to it, just as long as it was as a piece of art that can be enjoyed by other artists and intellectuals and whatnot. So did it so that artists can be inspired by the surrounding area. In the hotel, when... while it was being built, had a total of 1,600 plus rooms. Casino.
Wait, how many rooms?
600 plus. This place is massive.
Okay, I thought you said 1,600. Oh, I was like, holy shit.
It was built with 600 plus rooms. It had a casino, a theater, a chapel, which I'll come back to in a bit, ballrooms, galleries, a human-sized chessboard, but actually I think somebody might have actually gotten that mixed up. There is a room in there that has a checkered kind of pattern to it, but it seems to be the entire floor, not just like a specific area where
not
it's
like
just
a
like
play.
So it might have been just like a human-sized chessboard, or it could have just been the checkered floor, which is why it's like he kind of had different taste in art, so it could have just been like some random checkered floor that he wanted in one of the ballrooms.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, he also had a checkered Turkish bath, which is pretty much just a public bathhouse in the spa. So it was
so everyone could just get butt-ass naked in there and have fun with each other. public shower,
pretty much. It's like a public bathhouse and spa and stuff like that, and that's pretty much what they
do. Other countries do that.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and last but not least, but he also had tea rooms built in the place.
Yay, tea rooms.
Joe, save that to the end. Mm-hmm. But I do have a question.
Yeah,
why was there a chapel?
It was just he wanted a chapel. Like I said,
Why was there not a chapel, Sam? Is the real question. Why did he not want a chapel there?
He wanted to have a place that was like free of judgment and free of like, I guess people could go there and do religious stuff without being judged.
Yeah,
or
religious art.
The goal really wasn't to like push away anybody. He wanted people to go there in order to enjoy the area. He said again in one of his earlier quotes, he said he just wanted it to be a piece of art that had no sense, or maybe reaching the point of schizophrenia. So he kind of wanted that to inspire people to be a little bit more artistic or to inspire any type of intellectual thought. The fact that there was a chapel there could have just been he wanted a chapel there just for the architecture. He wanted the chapel there for the architecture,
gotcha,
possibly.
Gotcha, okay.
But other than that, like
wait,
I said...
Wait, is this place still going to this day?
I'll get to that.
Oh, God.
So the chapel, which I said I would get back to, had a massive pentagram in the center of it on the ground. So, and I'll get to that in a bit too.
Don't judge him. Remember, this place is no judgment.
I'm not judging. I'm not judging. I'm actually more intrigued. Tell me about this pentagram. Okay. I'm actually facing you now.
And the people
are there.
But anyway,
I got excited. Okay.
But anyway, I'll come back to the pentagram because it wasn't the only pentagram that was built into the hotel.
There are more?
There are actually several pentagrams that are actually scattered on the
Do
walls.
Do we have details of these pentagrams?
It's a pentagram. What else can I say?
Was there a circle around them? Were they upside down? There's so many details when
it
comes to
that. That's why.
Yes. Do we have a visual?
We do have visuals, but I would actually have to go online to do that. And if you want, you can go ahead and like take snapshots of it. Just,
oh, it's so pretty.
Yeah, it's
holy
gorgeous.
Shit.
It is incredibly gorgeous. Like
holy
a lot of
shit,
a
but
lot
I'm
of the
looking at something that's actually kind of scary. There's like a figure standing out there.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's got a pretty good amount of art and stuff like that. Like the architecture and everything for this building was
pretty,
just
right?
gorgeous. Yeah.
But then you look at like the inner, like that's, oh, that's the checkered thing, the room you were talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, those windows are super pretty.
Yeah. The whole thing, the way it was
look
built
at that.
Is just gorgeous.
Like, wow. How big is this place?
I'm actually
600 something rooms.
Well, yeah, it was 600 plus
rooms. Did they
rooms.
Make a game out of this?
Honestly, I wouldn't know, which is another reason why it kind of brings me back to BioShock, because a lot of the stuff that's in it kind of reminds me of it. Like BioShock was, I know they based a lot of their stuff. Like
I think this place might have inspired.
Maybe not BioShock.
Not BioShock, but like inspired other games, because I'm looking through like Google Images, and they're showing pictures of things that look like it's from a game.
Yeah, yeah, no,
and
I had that.
There's
same
Spanish
sense too.
Wording underneath it. And mm-hmm. I don't
Gimme.
Know.
So anyway,
like why is that there? That looks like it's from a game, not an actual. Like there's some other screenshots that look like. It could possibly be from there, or maybe people were inspired by some of the stuff that they saw there. I don't know. Sorry, we just like totally cut you off from where you're
That's
at.
Perfectly
but
fine.
You mentioned pentagrams, and I was just like, I'm awake.
And I'll come back to the pentagrams later.
Okay.
But anyway, the hotel had covered more than half a city block. So if that kind of
holy
makes
shit,
sense.
That's huge.
So it was pretty massive. The overall top down view of it was pretty big because not
I mean
only...
the pictures look gorgeous.
Oh yeah. The pictures look great.
Kind of almost looks like a little town on its own.
Yeah, so...
right? Like, that fucking balloon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're looking at the... Oh, never. I'll get to what you're looking at, too, so...
There's the chapel.
Yeah, so the hotel had covered more than half a city block and contained several gardens. It had patios, fountains, terraces, and elevated viewpoints to overlook some parts of the hotel and parts of the city too. So some of those pictures that you see on there were probably taken from some of the terraces that these people were able to get to.
I see the pentagrams you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. And from here, things kind of go downhill. First, the hotel was only open for the public for 8 months before it was
It was only open for 8 months?
It was only open for 8 months before it was permanently shut down, which is a shame because it is a gorgeous hotel. During the course of the construction, Galvan had racked up quite a hefty sum of debt.
Yeah, this place looks expensive.
Yeah, so in one weird. Article I read, Galvan had been a regent or somebody who was pretty much part of a political party or something. I can't remember. I'm not quite sure of what.
Wait.
And this is in one article that I had read, reported that he was a regent.
A person appointed to administer a country because of monarch in a minor or is absent or incapacitated.
Hmm.
Oh, so he's like vice president or vice, you know, like, you know how the principal or the president is unable to do anything because he's incapacitated.
Yeah.
Well, you have the runner up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I'm not quite sure. Maybe that just meant he was close to the mayor or something of Mexico City or something.
He could
like
have
that.
Been the mayor's like assistant.
Hmm. That was the only article that I had actually read about him being a regent or regent or whatever.
Regent.
And had actually redirected money from the public and put it into the construction of the hotel. So people were not happy with him when they had found out because he was really hoping that they wouldn't find out that he had redirected those monies to the hotel.
It's Mexico too.
Yeah. It was also rumored that he had ties with the Freemasons, who may have also played a part in the seizing of the hotel, and that was during 1945 when it was actually shut down.
Can you refresh my memory? What are the Freemasons again?
It's kind of... I looked them up, but the Freemasons were kind of, from what I gathered, I think were just people who play like a major political role.
A member of the International Order established for mutual help and fellowship, which holds elaborate secret ceremonies.
Yeah. And
so they're a secret society.
Kind of like how the Freemasons here with the like the all-seeing eye and everything like
that. Oh, yeah, too. I'm looking at some stuff right now. Like Anonymous. Anonymous is technically a Freemason.
Yeah, so pretty much they a lot of people had actually thought that he had ties with the Freemasons, and they were under the assumption that that was kind of the reason why the hotel had also gotten taken away from him.
So Freemasons just mean secret society?
Yeah.
Okay.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah.
Can we start a Freemason?
You technically can, because there's right here one of the number one searches, how to become a Freemason.
Yeah, pretty much. During his last day at the hotel, Galvan had carved or had ordered the architect to carve a curse in one of the walls in which
is the pentagram.
Roughly translates to everyone who was involved in the overtaking of my hotel will get what's coming to them. In simpler terms, what comes around goes around. So he pretty much
he cursed anyone.
Yeah,
who was like, if you do anything to my fucking hotel, you're going down.
Yeah. So and it's like on the wall that's like right outside, not outside, it's within the actual hotel grounds, but it's pretty massive.
Is it like carving. A placard?
Yeah, that's it right there.
Oh, that's a huge lot of words.
Yeah, that whole thing. But
you want to read it to us, Yelly?
Towards the very...
That's a lot.
It's a lot, and it's very obscure, because that was years ago that was carved.
Read it to us, Yelly.
I can't.
But yeah, like, at the very bottom, he actually had signed his name, or not signed it, but carved it into the wall also. So right underneath all of that says his name. But yeah, most of this history on the hotel is pretty much based off of rumors, and a lot of it is pretty much a mystery, which is pretty fun because it kind of leaves the imagination up to the individual. So basically, more rumors is that there are a couple of ways it is said that Galvan had actually died. So one interpretation is that he had gone insane and killed his family and then hung himself.
In the hotel.
So, but yeah, like, that's pretty much one way that people say he died. And it's the most popular way that I read online.
Uh-huh.
Is that he had gone insane and hung himself in the main courtyard. So basically right in the center of the hotel. Another rumor was that he still killed his family, but didn't hang himself in the courtyard, but in the highest tower.
Oh.
So, and it's still said that his spirit actually kind of haunts the building. So it's...
The whole thing or the tower?
The whole thing.
Oh, shit.
Like, and that's kind of where...
Want to go to Mexico City, Ellie?
It's a curse kind of goes to.
Yeah, because it's my grandma.
Great.
She lives in Mexico City?
Yeah.
That's nice. That's where she's from. Her family's from Mexico City.
Oh,
my mom's like...
Yeah. I had no idea. Another possibility, and it's a little bit more peaceful, but another possibility is that he had died at his house of pneumonia.
No, we're not going to go with that one. It's not paranormal enough, please. I mean, for someone who had pentagrams in there, you're telling me that he died of pneumonia?
Yeah.
Sure. Wink, wink. We get it. Pneumonia. So, that's what they call ghosts nowadays.
Some liquid in the lungs. It's nothing. It's nothing big. It's okay.
No. Yeah. Liquid in the lungs. We'll go with that.
Yeah.
Sure, Joe.
Anyway, some people believe that the hotel was actually seized because people thought the hotel was being used to conduct satanic rites, which goes back to a lot of the pentagrams. And on top of that, this is also due to the fact that during the construction...
But they're healthy pentagrams.
Yeah, they're right set up.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is just given the fact that some people, when they see
pentagrams... I know, the moment they see pentagrams, they automatically think devil.
They automatically associate it with Satanism or satanic stuff. So, and that's also going back down to the...
When was this again? What year?
This was... Early 1900s, all the way up to about 1945.
Oh, God. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. He had them on the walls, the floors. There's a giant one that lies, like I said earlier, on the floor of the chapel.
I saw. Yeah. But they're what we call healthy pentagrams.
Yeah.
But pentagram's a pentagram for most people.
That's actually a common belief, too, is that if it's evil or if you even speak of it inside the house, you're actually inviting it in.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a huge thing. You're giving it power.
But more hints as to why they assume that they were involved in satanic rites is because the number 33 was representative throughout the entire hotel. And there were also... suggestions of pregnant virgins.
Pregnant virgins.
Going back to the Mother Mary.
Just looking at these pictures gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Pregnant virgins. Can we?
But yeah, no, that was the only reference to like satanic rites that I saw, like pregnant virgins. More suggestive to like the Rosemary's Baby kind of like thing.
Antichrist.
The Antichrist.
Yeah.
So and not only that, but I think this is also hearsay, but there's also like hints of a cryptic alphabet, but I think that might also be what's written on the walls, and that's just an outsider's opinion being like, that's a cryptic alphabet. I wasn't able to,
maybe because there's some words that I don't understand on there,
like, yeah,
there's some that I'm like, okay,
I maybe it's not is. Like a cryptic alphabet, but like you know how
like a verse,
a language, you know how when we're younger sometimes we come up with languages that we don't want our, you know, people to know, or only the people closest to us, so we come up with words that are like
code names,
yeah. And maybe that's why some of the words on there you don't understand is because they're code words for people who may have been in like the
what do they call it,
the Freemasons, or yeah, the Freemasons. Maybe they know what that word means and it leads them to something else that they're supposed to get to.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, otherwise, let's see, also continuing, there were also underground passageways and double walls that supported the rumor that they were conducting satanic rites. Like why build a hotel and then have these massive tunnel work of underground passageways? And then, and not only that, other than that, during the time the hotel was open, unfortunately there was I'm kind of sort of finally getting into part of the paranormal aspect of this. Huh. There was also a corrupt police chief by the name of Negro Durazo, and he was corrupt. And when I mean corrupt, I mean he was like one of the worst police chiefs during this time. Basically, while the place was closed, he and his men were using it as a place to kidnap people and torture and kill them.
Oh shit!
Yeah, and it is reported that there are up to about 40 people that kind of just like up and disappeared, and he's just like, well, I don't know what happened to him. And the reason why it was kind of easy for him to do this was because of its location and the fact.
Do you think he was part of the Free? What's it called?
The Freemasons.
And like
part of the satanic cult, and they were.
It is possible.
Like he did build that thing. There was no judgment here, so like,
yeah,
he would just take people, and who God knows what, like, you know.
Yeah.
What if he was like, they were not just making them disappear, but what if he was like using them to sacrifice them?
Yeah, but not only that, but he was also, you know how he mentioned the double walls. There are also reports of him actually, or not him specifically, but of bodies, human bones, skeletons found within the double walls. So
oh, scary.
Yeah, so it's a,
can you actually go in there now?
Google it depends. It. It is actually abandoned and is actually illegal to go in. And it is a government-owned building, or supposedly government-owned building. The whole future of like this hotel.
Don't fuck with these.
Yeah, yeah, so like the whole future of this hotel is kind of like up in the air even till now. They're still debating whether or not to tear it down or to leave it up as a national monument. It was closed down back in 1945. There's around-the-clock security, so there's no way of actually getting in. Mm-hmm. Or there is a way to get in.
Could you imagine being security there?
Yeah, that's
kind of like the haunted.
You don't play me enough now.
It's like Quasimodo. It's coming back again.
Yeah. But
visiting his cousin down in Mexico City.
Why does he gotta be his cousin?
Why not? What else? Because
apparently
he
was orphaned. Remember from your story? Oh
my god! Could it be maybe a half brother or a full brother? Why are you giving me that look?
Okay, so going back a step. So during the time the hotel was actually open, little girl from room 103 had actually gone missing. They had no idea what happened to her. They searched for everywhere from inside the hotel. And
went into the double wall.
That's the little girl that I keep seeing.
Yeah,
the pictures and everyone, and that little shrine that they have for her.
Yeah, so basically, after some time, they had actually found her. Unfortunately, she had passed away during the time. So
how did she die?
They have no idea how she died. They don't even know how she ended up down in the underground passageways.
She was in the underground passageway, and they found her dead.
They found her dead.
They didn't even perform like an autopsy to see if she had any blood for trauma to her.
Let me finish the story.
I actually looked for information on how she died, but the only thing I could find was that she had passed away. and in her honor, they had actually built a small altar.
Yeah, where we saw that.
And they hung the dress that they found her in above the altar.
That was the dress they found her in?
That was the dress they found her in. And so it is actually said...
Aren't you supposed to, like, bury...
Technically, since that is the dress that they haunt her in, they're bounding her spirit... To that location.
So I'm actually getting to that part too. Oh, so this is kind of where a lot of the paranormal.
I'm sorry. I'm gonna give a point to paranormal for that because that even sent chills down my spine. Because you know this is Mexico we're talking about. They're super like religious over there. They should know that if they do something like that, they're bounding the spirit to that location. Yeah. So I can just imagine the shit that's happened with them.
Yeah.
Do you think it's like the whole like how that one show that they want to keep her spirit there because she was so young?
Oh, maybe so they visit like her?
Yeah.
It's
more like a remorse or... That's actually pretty interesting.
Oh, I just got chills.
Yeah, like...
Well, like that one mom, she's like, no, her spirit's still here. She's still alive. I'll come visit her.
Oh, that's so fucking sad.
Isn't it?
What if that is the case? Well, this happened so long ago. I think her parents would be dead by now, right?
This kind of reminds me of the whole Tal Cortez... American Horror Story,
yeah,
where everybody who dies there kind of like they're soul bound to that area. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty creepy to think about.
It is actually that now that I think about it. What if they did that on purpose, but before they could actually like take her dress there or get rid of any belongings that belonged to her, so her soul could be free, they weren't able to do that. So they're there waiting for someone to do it for them.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it is.
It's like
still there.
I just looked. I was gonna say I was waiting for him to like get to the end of it. There's somebody who posted a video in 2017 going in there and doing a whole thing.
See that I was actually gonna get to.
Yeah,
it is still possible to get into Torrent, but you have to ask for special permission to do that.
Like special permits. Like TV shows and stuff. There's like what was that show?
Ghost Hunters.
Yeah, Ghost Hunters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, pretty much you have to have special permission.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I would go. I would drag you with me. I need a translator. Nope. I need a translator.
I'll be like, I'll pay for a motherfucking translator. Go with you. I'm not going in myself.
But yeah, Rhea, I need you. What if?
Anyway, so this is going more towards the actual paranormal aspect. So after all that history, it is mostly history. So with the paranormal aspect of this, the little girl is reported to be seen wandering the
Quasimodo's sister. Oh my god. We need to give her a name. Annabelle. Oh my
god. If you ever see the photo if you ever see the photo of the little girl that they put there, it's heartbreaking.
Do you have the name?
They actually couldn't find the name of the little girl. All the articles that I read about this place just referred to her as the little girl.
Are you sure it's not in Spanish somewhere?
It probably could be in Spanish somewhere. They might even have the name specified somewhere in there, but I unfortunately wasn't able to find it when I was doing the research looking up this bit. But yeah, like her spirit is said to be wandering around the underground passageways, and even worse, if you go there and are unaware, you like walk past her altar, it is said that she actually curses you too. The only way to lift that curse, it is said that you have to leave a piece of candy.
That's why there's so much candy there.
There's so much candy there. So basically, whenever anybody goes down to look at the altar or to pay their respects, they leave a piece of candy as an offering to be like, I'm sorry for what happened to you. Please don't haunt me, pretty much.
Aww.
Yeah. And if you ever see
that's so sad.
Yeah, like the photo that they have of the little girl is really, it's really heartbreaking.
Wait,
too.
The actual photo of the girl?
Yeah,
it's like right by the dress.
Yeah, it's...
Okay.
It's right by the dress, but it's like an Easter costume that she's in. And she's got makeup on.
Wow, she was super fucking young.
Yeah.
That doll, though.
Yeah, it's that little clown doll.
But you have to remember what time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Era. That was probably like a super popular doll by
then. Yeah. So another strange thing that's there, and it's not exactly clear on how it happened, but there's actually another altar that's within that same area. It's not in the same room, but it's in the same general area. But what it is, it's basically just a small altar with doll heads on it, and that's all.
I saw that.
It's just
doll heads. The altar of decapitated heads.
Yeah,
doll heads.
Yeah, and somebody put it up. They don't know who. It's just
disappeared one day.
either appeared one day or just like somebody who came there just put a doll head there, or maybe it was just something that got lost and people just start putting. It's kind of like the island of dolls.
That's creepy.
Which is, yeah, so it's pretty creepy. Adjacent to the room that has her altar is another room. It's like a crawl space, but all that's in there is a wooden cross and a cross drawn on the wall. And that's all that's in there.
I want to go.
Yeah. And
yeah, like, come with me.
And there's another room.
Take Joe.
there's another room there too.
That's the cross space.
But the room has like these child doodles on there. Like no, doodles? that's one thing that other people don't know how they got there is that they're like child, like a child had gone in there and started drawing on the walls with a piece of chalk and had started like writing stuff. And some of the words are even misspelled. And it's like as if a kid had snuck in there and started like coloring and stuff on the walls.
Oh, there's the cross. It's a fucked up looking cross.
Yeah. But the last bit of paranormal stuff that kind of happens at this place is that people in the neighboring area at night, sometimes they kind of hear the screams of the tormented people or the people who are tortured.
The people who were tortured there?
Yeah, so people kind of like, as they're walking by, they kind of hear.
Do you think maybe people still go there? Do they still take people there?
Maybe because it's owned by the government. What if they still take people there?
There's could so be a many possibility. Double walls and whatever, and they just use the haunting as like a scare tactic to keep people from wandering and sticking their nose in.
Yeah.
Dun dun dun. I'm too good at this. They're gonna. I don't.
Yelly. Don't open your door to an unknown knock.
And there are also there's actually a pretty interesting fact about this too, is that apparently there were a couple of movies that were filmed there. I tried to look up to see what movies were filmed there. I even checked up IMDb to see to see if there was anything ever like officially recorded there, but I couldn't find anything. I don't know if it was just like any movies that were.
Oh, they even have the address.
Yeah,
right here.
The address is open.
It's surrounded by a tall barbed wire fence.
Yeah,
it has a round the clock security presence, making entry next to impossible. But yep. People still manage to get in.
People still manage to get in, but the main way to get in is pretty much to ask for permission. Sometimes they'll give it to you, sometimes they don't.
Mexico is very like.
Yeah,
I was about to say, if you just go up to the guard and be like, "Hey, here's $100," they'll be like,
"Yeah, however
long you want to be in there."
I actually did read an article where they did do that,
mm-hmm.
where they were going in. Apparently, they had claimed that that the security guard is like an old family friend of theirs, and they're visiting Mexico City, pretty much seeing the sights and heard about the hotel. So the guy was the security guard was pretty much escorting him around the hotel, and one of the girls.
Yeah, I'm reading it right now. Yeah. I think I know what you're talking about.
The girl started taking pictures of the area, and another security guard had seen it, and he started getting angry, and he's like, "You can't be doing that unless you pay a fee in order to take pictures here." And so she's like, "Okay,
sure, here."
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just reading, like, literally you were just saying, I was like, the girl was there with a group of people, and they were just like, "Yeah, we're just going around," and they had us pay some money, and she's like, "And we got inside."
Yeah, that's pretty much.
Do you want to go?
Nope. Nope.
But we can go leave candy.
You can go leave candy.
But I need you there with me. You're my Mexican connection.
No, I ain't got no pesos to pay a security guard. I'm poor.
So, going back to the whole chapel bit with the pentagram, Yelly, you were asking about the math. So basically, one reason why I think the pentagram was there and why pentagrams are scattered throughout the entire hotel is he wanted the hotel to be multicultural, and so. Coming back to the pentagram, back in Greece, way back in the day, the pentagram was actually seen as a symbol of
protection.
Of not only protection, but as what considered the golden ratio. So basically what that is, it's the perfect ratio of like dimensions.
But, but back in the day, the pentagram was actually, and it still is to this day, seen as
the golden ratio, right?
It's not just the golden ratio, but it's also seen as a sign of a protection.
Yeah.
And if you want protection, and you can, you're technically supposed to put it in your corners, and you're supposed to put it in places that you want the most protection. And the places in the center of the room is where you get the most power of it, because that's where the center of energy is supposed to be in. That's why I call it the healthy pentagrams.
Also in the chapel, there are 12 owl statues, and odd being owls being in a chapel, because from what I understand or from what I heard is that owls in Hispanic culture is actually a bad omen.
It depends what kind of owl.
That I actually did some research on too, just to like to confirm that. And apparently to some Hispanic people, it is seen as a bad omen. However, amongst Hispanic or Mexican potters, it's actually seen as a sign of good luck, because a lot of potters back then were getting a lot of, I may have misunderstood this when I was reading it, but they were getting a lot of orders overseas for statues. Pottery? Like statues of owls and stuff like that. And so it ended up becoming a form of income, and otherwise, and it's kind of like how the Japanese have that cat that kind of like waves to you. It's supposed to represent good luck. So it really just depends on how you want to look at it, which is pretty interesting. But yeah,
I still want to go.
I kind of want to go too, which is pretty nice. But if you were wondering where the location was, it's like the whole place is still standing. It is abandoned, and unfortunately, because it's not being taken care of, it is falling apart.
Away.
It is from the outside. It looks like it's pretty bad, because it's just covered in graffiti, and a lot of the bricks and stuff like that. A lot of the pieces are starting to fall off. You go inside, though, it's a completely different story.
Yeah, the
inside's still kind of intact. A few rooms that you can still kind of see that are clearly falling apart. Overall, from the pictures that I was able to look up online, place looks amazing.
It does. I like it. I want to go.
That's fine. Let's go.
Yeah, let's go. We'll go visit your grandma at the same time. We'll have a good old time, and then we'll go get some tacos and then stop by here.
Why did your accent suddenly get all like, let's go get some tacos and some chichinjangs?
When did I say chichinjangs?
That's the way you said tacos at the end. It
reminded me of
Let's go get
some tacos.
You want some tacos?
Let's go get some tacos.
Coming to my damn house.
You mock me and my Mexican heritage. Mm-hmm.
I'm not mocking.
Let's go get some tacos. This is basically where you're
going. Let's go get some tacos.
No. If I wanted to go Cheech and Chong's, I'd been like in high school, took Spanish and passed it with a B. Mexican American.
Oh my God. Dating yourself again.
Oh, Joe called you old.
I am old.
You're not that old.
Born in East LA, yeah.
Are we, yeah? Yeah, we're done with that now. Yeah,
we're done with that.
Well, I liked yours, Joe.
That was.
I like both of yours. I just feel like we're just all really tired, and the weather's not helping at all. Stay warm, guys. Drive safe.
Stay thirsty. All right,
stay thirsty. Yeah, have tea. be careful out there. Yeah. Weather hopefully will get better. Better. We hope the weather will get better. I hope you guys enjoyed our episode. Again, let us know what you think alien abductions should be at. I kind of threw them in the paranormal category.
I see it as paranormal.
Bibbidi bobbidi.
I see it as paranormal.
Let us know on social media, or just let us know, would you go to this haunted place? Would you want
to
take a trip there and leave candy
like
for this little
girl?
Would
you like to bring a piece
of candy? Right? And, you know, go visit Quasimodo's sister.
Oh, my God.
You can't just call her Quasimodo's sister. You gotta give her a name.
Okay, give me a name.
I said you gotta give her a
Why
name.
Why do I have to give her a name?
You're the one that wants to name her.
You came up with Quasimodo.
The whole article doesn't even want to name her.
Oh my God.
You want to give her power and name her,
I am gonna try and give her a name, because the girl deserves a name. No one seems to know the name online, and believe me, I looked up. No one seems to know. It's the same thing like the little boy in the haunted
yeah, and I
mental hospital.
Quasimodo. Now it's your turn.
What?
This is your little haunted baby.
It's my haunted little baby?
Yeah, this is your
it's
haunted
little
girl. Haunted
baby. It's a little girl. It's a haunted baby.
And the girl deserves a name, as you said.
I need... Okay, we'll call her Maria.
¿Por qué Maria?
Might as well just fucking name her Consuela and tell her some damn Windex.
Superman, no here.
Superman, no here. No, I clean.
Joe, we need more lemon pledge.
Lemon pledge, yes.
You guys are so bad.
But yeah, so let us know. Would you guys take a...
Let's hear it for Team Paranormal this weekend.
Yeah, woo, it's Joe's week. Whoop, whoop.
It was pretty fun.
It's a pretty fun week.
Exciting looking up all this information. It was really fun.
But yeah, if you guys would rather, you know, if someone were to drag you to this, would you go very willingly, or would
you
not go at all?
Direct eye contact.
Yeah,
because
I'm asking you.
But yeah, no, I would.
In all seriousness,
that is a non-Spanish-speaking friend like drag you to this.
In all seriousness, though,
if we were to go down to Mexico City, would you go? If we happened to, like,
if someone paid for our trip and our tickets, then yes, I would go. I would hate it every freaking minute of it, but if we did, no. Not, it can't be you two that pay for it either.
What? No, that's not fair.
Will it be the log ride all over again, Yelly? Okay.
So I'm done. I'm
walking away from you. Thanks for listening. Till next time.
We lost Team Myth. Yeah, so thank you guys for putting up with us. We will have another episode, as always, coming out next week, and it's going to be Team Myth time.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it's going to be Team Myth next week.
It's you and me.
And they have
week,
some
Ellie.
Yummy stories to tell. So yeah, it's gonna be Team Myth next week. I hope you guys stay tuned. It's gonna be super fun, super awesome. And again, we have listener videos that are popping up. We have another one coming out in first of April. Please send that in to us as soon as possible, so that way we can include you in there. We have also some social media from Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Please follow us on that. Continue listening to our stories. Don't forget to leave reviews. Subscribe. Tell everyone about us. That would be great. Don't run toward the silver light. Stay away from the silver light.
That's this week's PSA. Don't run towards the fire in the sky.
And always carry a piece of candy.
And keep child.
Keep candy with you.
Right, don't run to the light and keep candy with you.
Don't run up to a kid and be like,
"What name did I give her?" That wasn't me. I didn't call her Consuelo. That was you.
You lost it. I deserve a point for making you so I can lose that shit.
1 point for Team Myth for giving another awesome name to another poor child. Yeah, to another poor child named Consuelo with lemon pudge.
Till next time,
guys. Thank you for putting up with us. And if you guys have any stories, please send them. Or if you guys have any comments, please send them to our email, teatimehorrorstories@gmail.com. Love you guys. Thank you.
Peace.